Can you make sure?
I try to do that, like, you know, when it's photo time. To like
is it photo time?
It is photo time right now. But,
oh, I can't see it?
But we got to act like we're not even paying attention to it, though.
Are we recording? What I mean?
Yeah, we recording right
okay.
now.
Okay.
Yeah, now the whole we on, we back, all no, that. You don't need all that, man.
No, we don't.
It's a beautiful day right now in San Diego,
you
man.
You got me smack dab in the center of the sun.
Yeah, but there's like a nice little cool breeze that's hitting at the same time.
No, it's
time.
Nice, but it was nice yesterday, and I got a little warning shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where we at?
Where we at now?
Yeah.
I couldn't find any big pun lyrics for Balboa Park, but that's where we at.
Yeah, we know. I don't think we have anything. It's been an adventure. We got here at 11. It's now 12. You know, we trucked across the pathway.
Yeah, my man had the vuvuzela out.
Who did?
My man. The reason we had to leave.
Oh yeah, is that what that's called?
Nah, we was. That's the closest thing I could think of though.
Bro had the longhorn like
we
he was about to
turf.
Summon the Spartans.
It was turf wars.
Oh no! And then the ranger came up and he was like, "Yeah, he's here every day."
But he checked you before.
What'd he say?
What y'all about to do? Yeah, you know where you at?
What y'all about to do is crazy, man. Oh, man. Yeah, we out here in Balboa Park, man, right next to the water fountain. So if you hear a little slow hiss, that's the water fountain. If you hear a little bit of the jazz tunes in the background, this is Alex's cousins out here. These dudes is killing it right now. I think he done changed about 4 or 5 instruments since then.
You think my cousins really would be good at jazz?
These guys right here definitely... I don't know. Looking at them without the instruments, I don't know if like they would be good jazz.
I think there was something deeper
not.
To that.
What do you mean?
It sounds like my family's just great at cultural appropriation.
you're in a different bag right now, man. All right, man. Let's just go ahead and kick it off real quick, man.
I'm focused, man. Tell
Stout
to holla at me, man.
Holla at me, man.
Young Hova, you heard? New Maya. Check, man, you heard?
This is way different than the practice song you played. I'm like, oh, he's going there today.
Y'all, Jigga Man be ballin'. Leave chicks pigeon-toed. Some of them be crawling. Get the best of you whenever I put my all in.
You know what's coming. Turn me up in the headphones a little bit.
Ass drop, coops for half.
I appreciate it.
Expose half my knot. Nigga mad.
Listen, I'm getting straight to it. I'm getting straight to it. You could be anywhere in the world. Balboa Park, thinking that we was at Liberty Station, thinking we was at Cow's Mountain, your mama's house, your auntie's house, anywhere. Shout out to everybody that's listening. You could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. I got something for you in regards to this song. Trust me.
If I had a girl with the North Carolina dress, I did. Carolina Luke. DJ Clue. DJ
Clue. Okay, we gotta get really nasty. We gotta
get that.
Don't worry, man. You too far ahead right now. You too far ahead. Come on, man. We gonna get even nastier with these transitions.
Am I inside your brain?
You already know I gotta get nasty with the transitions one time. Yeah, we doing something all for the ladies all day today. No more hardcore rap, none of that today, okay?
Actually, we went almost all of March.
We're in front of a different crowd right now, man, so we got to live a little different.
But I'm saying we went all March. We ain't talking about Women's History Month one time.
Not one time. We ain't got a woman to do so. Your right to sunlight.
I don't know if you hit your growth spurt when this came out. You was 5'5 with brown eyes. When this came out.
And I haven't grown. I haven't grown at all since. Look her in the eyes.
Nah, you can't look them in the eyes no more. It makes them uncomfortable.
Nah, you get. Nah, I'm looking people in their eyes all summer.
I don't know how you doing. It's bright. Oh, I guess you got the hat on. It's bright as shit out here. You ain't got no glasses.
Okay. Trust me, it's about to get nastier. Last one. I promise y'all. Here we go. Let's get nasty with it. Switching up with the transition. Here we go. Doing things you never do. Telling the homies you can't come out tonight. Now I'm about to go hang with her family and play Parcheesi.
Yeah.
I was so mad at Buy You a Drink. Young Jock said on Buy You a Drink, 150 at the bar for a drink. At that point, you might as well get five dudes together and get bottle service, King.
Yeah, that's a Louis the 13th shot right there. Anything she want for some kisses. I'm cooking for when she gets hungry. All she doing is acting like she want me.
We gonna get to it, I promise you. Let's get to it. One more time for the hook. Oh, wait a minute, it's the bridge. I messed it up. Welcome to the You Wasn't Outside podcast. But we outside for sure. Shout out to our photographer right here. Boy, be getting my angles right. Yeah, my angles right.
I got two toddlers that have a personal photographer for their toddler soccer practices.
Bro, you all the way set up, man. I'm just telling you, like, man, you got to, you come with some perks, man.
They living that OTI life early.
You said what?
My kids, man.
What you mean?
They got a personal photographer for every practice. Not even games. Not a game. I'm talking about practice.
Just practice.
Not a game.
You got to show them the effort. It's
no, you wasn't outside for that. You don't even know what I'm talking about.
What you mean?
Huh?
Oh, come on, man. That's Allen Iverson, bro. What are you talking about, man? Come on. Who do you think I am, man? Let me get my stuff. What'd you say?
I don't know.
You don't know who
Tell
I am?
Tell me who you are right now.
You need to know who I am, bro. Stop messing with my name,
you
brother.
You are a nasty DJ.
Yes, I want to welcome you out of episode 31, right? Or is it episode 30?
Yep. Shout out to Reggie Miller.
Episode 31 of the You Wasn't Outside podcast. I'm one of your hosts, not doing the most. Normal ass Carl to my front-ish left. I got to make sure that I say that the right way. We got at Just Lex. You already know how I do
Normal
it.
Normal ass Carl.
Hey.
And Just Lex.
Just Lex. Just Lex. I would normally ask you, like, how your week has been, but I'm just going to jump into mine, because since you never asked me.
Man, you never give me the – I was like, all right, this week I'm about to jump in.
Let me give you your props then. Go ahead. Let me know.
Hey, man, you always ask me how I'm doing. How are you doing?
Oh, man, you know, I'm doing amazing, man. You know, same old for the most part. I went to L.A. yesterday.
You did.
To go visit my best friend and her daughter. Took the kids out to go play and stuff like that. Man, we were out in I think it's called Glendale, California, but it's still Los Angeles County.
That it is.
So I was up there, man, and the traffic pattern is ridiculous, man. Like just looking at, like, life is fully back. So on the way up to L.A., from Mission Valley all the way up until San Juan Capistrano, deadlocked traffic.
Really?
On a Saturday coming in south. Not on me. So, like, we were going against it, but, like, coming south, it was crazy. And I don't know, man, like we're out here in Balboa Park right now, and people are out, masks and stuff, vendors and stuff like that.
But it's, this is the easiest I've ever found parking at Balboa Park.
You think so?
I'm saying for me personally, anytime I come to Balboa, and it's a Sunday, too, so, I mean, like, it could be way worse than this.
The zoo is open now, too, it looks like. Or is that just regular parking?
I mean, we have a big news story about our zoo. It's open.
We can talk about it. I didn't put it on the list. We can go ahead and talk about it, though. It's fresh news at this point.
Your mans?
There was a gentleman that was at the zoo yesterday that decided that he was going to go into the elephant enclosure and have a great time.
Should we play a game? Does he look more like you or me?
I have no. I've seen the clip really
quickly. I'm saying that's the game, though. You see the clip.
If something crazy like that happens, I automatically assume that is somebody that's white.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think that black people are trying to get close to the elephants and stuff like that, man. Just saying. You know, Mexican people either. So my man, he goes into the elephant enclosure, and they said the elephant was pissed. And so I read that before actually seeing, like, what actually happened. And the elephant did look pissed. Because I'm like, yo, how do y'all know?
But
you know,
at the same time, I felt like he was, like, giving them, like a chance.
Yeah.
Like, because he, you know, he went through, you know, he dropped the kid. He was in there longer than I felt like he should have been.
It's the same elephant, though, that has been there at least for the last 5 or 6 years. And I've never seen him that amped up in my life. I was just at the zoo, what, 7 months ago before we went back in on the next lockdown? And, like, he was just chilling, eating, hiding from the sun. But then, like, to see him buck the way that he bucked, I was like, oh, yeah, he's definitely, you know, hot. So, yeah, man, other than that, I booked the Miami trip. So I'm I'm going to Miami. I'm flying into Fort Lauderdale. It's actually cheaper. It's only 45 minutes from Miami. I'm going to go play golf and stuff. You already know what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to go see the instructor that I normally go see and everything. So I'm doing that in May. So all this equipment here, man, you better get your life right, bro, because, you know, I expect you to take on the torch or we'll record on the opposite day.
How long are you going to be gone?
About a week.
From a Tuesday to a Monday. Something light in the can before you go.
We could just sit, but we could set up in the studio that we don't use anymore.
Yeah.
And do something that way, man. So what's been new with you, bro? What's up with you?
Oh, man, it's been yesterday, full day outside, to the point where I forgot. You know, I thought once I got tanned,
because
it's the longest I've ever kept any color. I thought once that happened, you know, I cheat outside a little bit with no sunscreen, and it's like, nah, you good. Mm. Like, longer than I would have normally done.
Right.
But yesterday I was out from like 9 to like 3.
That's damn near all day.
And I got a couple warning shots. But I was doing, you know, the kids, they shout out to my wife. She's officially a soccer mom now. That's something on her bucket list.
Y'all got a van yet?
Nah.
Have you thought about getting a van?
Nah. That's like, I mean, it might come to it, but nah.
It's too disrespectful.
We good now.
For you.
Nah. We got to, let's pay off what we got now and let it rock with no payments for a while. And then, so they was doing their soccer. Then all of a sudden, there's a playground. There's a lot to do with the neighborhood. I've been doing where we at now, where they playing soccer is right where the park, where the new house is at. And we about a mile away from it right now. So I ride the bike there.
Yeah.
I did some night riding the night before, just around the neighborhood, around that part of town, just to kind of get a feel for it at night. And, it, you know, it's pretty dope. It's, like, quiet, but it still looks vibrant.
Yeah.
And, so it's looking like I might have to get my own bike once I get up in there.
There you go.
Join the bike crew.
You going to get gears, or you going to try to be cool and be like I ain't getting no, you know, I don't need gears?
Nah, the one I'm pushing right now got the gears, and I'll be on this slight incline. Like, nah, I ain't doing this.
Man, my dad is crazy. He went up the State Beach Hill, like, in the middle of quarantine with no gears. And an older dude that was like 75 breezed past him. He was like, you know, it's easier with gears.
Right. Yeah.
I thought my dad was going to collapse that day, bro.
I thought my kids was going to collapse yesterday, because I had them running and working all day yesterday. Even when we got home from the park, we went in the backyard and they were still kicking the soccer ball around, still doing. They have this little like Dave and Buster's basketball hoop situation.
Right.
We was doing a bunch of stuff still outside. I played with them until the verses came on. And they were still up at like 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Just do it.
With no nap.
None at all.
That's my life. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, what time did they go to bed?
She tried to put them down at like 8:30.
Didn't work that way then.
But I was like, they didn't have no nap, and I was running them ragged all day long. And then, yeah, but I still was like, nah, I gotta get this verses off.
There we go. Okay. So you good? You ready to pod then? You ready
I'm
to
ready,
move?
Man.
All right, man. Let's go ahead, man. Let's hop into the Let's hop into the first This Week in Hip Hop segment. So, I'm ashamed that we're even about to talk about this, but it's been a slow week.
Has it?
Yeah, in my opinion, you know, and not trying to double up on topics and everything. But I seen something the other day, and I realized how much the evolution of hip hop has, you know, really changed. Lil Pump has acrylic nails.
Who?
Lil Pump. Like,
ain't that the one that died?
No, Lil Pump is the one that was on stage with Donald Trump and everything during the rally and stuff like
okay.
that. No, you're thinking of
Lil Peep.
Yeah, Lil Peep. Yeah, Lil Pump. I only know that because it came up on my feed. And, you know, I've seen the painted nails and stuff like that before, man. That's cool. I think, does Tech N9ne paint his nails?
He paints his face.
He paints his face.
I'm sure he's painted his nails before.
And that's different. But to see a man with an actual acrylic on, that changed the game for me.
Because people are just trying to do something that ain't been done, and they're just pushing it to a point where it's like, all right, you know, when Rocky or
was
Kanye was doing the skirt,
he fucked
and
up.
And then you got the hair. I mean,
and it's like and you know, I think like we do a lot of these things, and this actually goes in. Did you see that Fake Famous doc on HBO?
I didn't get to that one yet.
Okay, so I'm not going to shed too much light into it. For those who've watched it either, I'll give y'all another week or so to watch it, then we can deep dive into it, or 2 weeks to watch it. But, I mean, a lot of people are doing things just to stand out. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like I'm thinking of that Drake bar that he said in his most recent 3-pack that he put out, where it's like, yo, there's a lot of people chasing fame, but they're not talented in anything, really. You know what I mean? Like, you're doing all these things mainly for shock value. And so, like, I'm sitting here thinking, like, you know, hip hop has come a long way. We've had some weird instances and stuff like that before. But now we just got brothers walking around here with the acrylic nails and stuff like that. I mean, they was nice. Like, his nails was banging. You know what I mean?
The but French tips.
The French tip nails, man. It was definitely nice, bro. But I was just like, man, that's a little bit too over the top for me, man.
Something along those lines, too. I was listening. I was like, man, like, it's really come to that far. Like, I'll find myself listening to an album that I did not like when it came out, like, at all.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'll come across it now, and I'll be like, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But I was, like, dead set, like, no, this is super garbage.
It's actually the reverse for me now, too, though, because it's like I went back and listened to Mood Music 3 again, right? That's over 15 years ago, Joe Budden, Mood Music 3. I was listening to it last week. And I realized, like, those beats are no longer for me anymore, though. Like that sound of music. Like, there's some songs that, like, that, like, just music in general. There's some old songs where I'm like, man, like my ear has changed. You know what I mean? Throughout time. And like I said, like, I look at that, like, hip hop changes all the time. But I feel like right now, man, it's changing for, like, to be a gimmick, though. You know, and it's probably been like that for some time or whatever, but I just feel like it's even worse now, man.
Well, you just need a gimmick because everybody can be, you know, with technology moving, everybody can be, there's too many rappers.
Yeah.
Too many rappers, you don't need deals, and they just, you got to have something to stand out. And then there's the people that are like, ah, I'm not really a rapper, I'm just trying to be famous, so I'm doing that, but I'm also, all I really care about is about, like, viral moments, the likes, the shares, whatever they doing.
Ain't no money in that, though. That's what's crazy. Like, even watching, like,
they don't
that,
care about the money.
That's what, and that's what's wild to me. Like, they, like the influencer, right? And yeah. That and that fake famous thing. They were taking, I'm gonna just give you one thing to wow you. They were taking the seats off of toilet seats.
Wow.
Yeah, they were taking the seats off of toilet seats, and then they were putting, like, a backdrop on the projector. And they were holding the toilet seat like they were riding in a first-class window seat with the pillow. Somebody's holding the toilet seat and the pillow behind dude's head, and they're pretending like bro is, like, riding first class somewhere.
Yeah, I heard about that. There was that story that came out a few years ago about that fake plane.
It's where in L.A., yeah.
Everybody would, like, take pictures on this plane like they was, like, jet-setting on the private,
like,
on
they
the
was
PJ.
Going somewhere, like, living somewhere, like, you know, crazy yeah. or something, man. You know what I mean? And then on the other side of it, too, like, they would take photos in their backyard and be like, oh yeah, well, I'm in Dubai or something right now. You know
or,
what I mean?
Or they'll go to Dubai, they'll take 100 pictures and they spread them out for yeah. the next couple years. Like, they're there all the time.
Yeah, right. And that was what was wild to me, man. Next subject in this week in hip hop that I was thinking about. What do you think is worth more right now in the game? And I know what you're gonna say, but I want you to critically think, okay? What is worth more right now, a whole verse or a J verse? I mean, a J verse, said the same person twice. A whole verse or a Drake verse?
What is worth more?
Yeah, what do you think has more value in this market or in this climate that we're in right now? Because in my thought process, the reason why I say that is because it would be so valuable for you to have a Drake verse if you're anybody.
Yeah.
Same thing, if you got a whole verse, that means you've made it. Like, you've hit legendary status, or you've been out here grinding enough for that man to notice who you are. So what do you think holds more value at that point?
That's a pretty good question, actually. I don't know what I'm off top, I'm just gonna say the Drake verse, just because, I mean, on one hand, I feel like he catches the new wave early and then attaches himself to it.
Yeah.
Which is why he's been able to do this whole, like, you know, like, he jumped, I feel it. But then on the other end, because he is who he is, you know, he jumped early on like a Migos song. And then, you know, they did their thing. And then he did his little tag team stuff. I guess Future kind of jumped up a little quicker before him. But, I mean, like, I feel like he's done, like, he'll do more for you than you can for him. I guess that's the same for Hope, too, but... Yeah, I guess depending on how you look at it. It means more to me personally if I can get, because it's like, oh, Hov only does so many verses.
Right, right.
So if I can get it, that means it might not make me monetarily as much money and blow me up, but it's like, oh, it's the respect factor. It can lead to other things.
Yeah.
But the Drake verse is going to do a lot more for the short run, I guess.
And I was thinking, like, in the standpoint that, like, a Hov verse actually still may be more valuable. Because you can say you want a whole verse, and he's not going to look one way at you. You know what I mean? You can put out the hot song that's out right now.
2 Chainz been trying to get a whole verse
for
10
a
years.
Long time. You can put out a hot song right now or whatever, and he's not going to be like, oh, I got to be on that. You know what I mean? Like, they're in two different stages of their career. I think I would value more of a Jay verse because I know it's only going to come once. You know what I mean? Like, you might have an opportunity to work with Drake as a new artist more than once, you know, especially if you are able to keep some type of relevance. But, yeah, I definitely would still take a – because how many whole verses have you heard with him and Kendrick?
One.
And that's the only one that I know of. And
but, like, you look at somebody like Ross, he has several.
And he has but he's been in the game longer. That's why I use Kendrick because he's, like, one of the newer guys. Cole, when are you going to hear another Cole and Jay verse? You probably won't hear another one again.
Based on the first one, I ain't trying to hear another one.
All right, man.
Yeah, nice watch. That shit is trash. Get out of here. Oh, yeah. Hove could have kept that one.
Oh, man. Did you watch the Grammys?
No.
Why not? When did you stop watching? Did you watch
I normally I would have watched the Grammys. I didn't get to it this year.
Were you excited about getting to it in the first place?
I wouldn't say I'm excited, no.
See, like, I've been waiting, like, for, like, maybe some of our favorite, like, hip-hop publications and stuff like that to come around and, like do that type of, like to tell us, like, how it went, because I just don't want to waste 3 or 4 hours watching. I'm not vested. I think social media keeps me intact of, like, all the performances I need to watch. I only need to watch, like, 30, 45 seconds of a performance. You know, I'm not that emotionally invested into, like, the Grammys and stuff
like
that. Like,
I mean, they did do a good job with, like, the best rap, like, the, you know, the category I care about.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they got it wrong in the end, but as far as, like, the nominees, like, for the people that were nominated, like, to where it's like, oh, you would have never been nominated ever in life, like, that nomination means something. Like, right. That's all that, like, when Nip got nominated, it was like, oh, that's the same thing as a win for me. Because that wasn't supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. So the fact that this crop got nominated and, you know, they gave Nas the Lifetime Achievement Award, basically.
Yeah.
That's all that was.
They trying to clean up. They're like, look, we got Jay-Z coming back. We got Beyonce coming in here. Let's just go ahead and keep showing them that we support them in some type of manner. Because the Lifetime Achievement Award, that's for anybody.
No,
right?
It wasn't a Lifetime Achievement Award. He won the Grammy for the Best Rap Album.
Right.
But I called it Lifetime Achievement Award because, one, it wasn't the best rap album, and it's like, oh shit, he's been in the game over 25 years and he doesn't have a Grammy yet. Let's do it now.
It's kind of like paying homage to somebody that needs like a Super Bowl like, or something.
Oh, but
like that.
Yeah, it's also like, oh, I know, you know, the people that are on the, like, I know who Nas is, I don't know who Freddie Gibbs is. who are these people?
And the way he be giving it up on social media, you kind of don't want to give him that TV play.
Can't
time
do it. It's gonna be like 3-6 Mafia at the Oscars. No.
It's a bad look. 7 years ago today, YG released his debut album, My Crazy Life.
Oh, there's something.
All right. So, oh, no, I saved substance for last. Trust me, like some real good substance. What are your favorite tracks on there? My two on there are BPT and Who Do You Love?
Oh, you went with the singles.
But I like those. I mean, like those are the ones for me. Which ones you like? You need some credibility right there?
No. Dang, what's it called?
Let's see what you got.
It's not the Flockers. It's the
Let me get you a little hum in the background. There we go.
Yeah.
There you go. We'll give you some. Why he think this is thinking music right here. He's the dude. I think he's gonna start cussing.
No, it's called there. It's like, cause they ain't got no nigga with the plugs.
Which one you got? You know,
oh yeah, it's 1 a.m.
1 a.m. That's your track right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I don't like, man? I will say this, man. I don't like his newer music right now, though.
I haven't liked anything since this.
Yeah, it's been tough, man. I think he's been experimenting with a lot of things.
He's trying to battle James Harden in the fashion industry.
I actually have fashion on there, man, and I wanted to get your take, but not right now, though. I'll get it on something else. But yeah. All right, man, so let's wrap it up, man, with This Week in Hip-Hop, man. Anything else that I missed that you think that I need to cover in regards to hip-hop before we start talking about some semi-real stuff? We always warm into it.
Nah.
Nothing at all. All right. Hold on. Let me get my applause a little louder. Time to hit this transition. Random shit to fill in time. Okay. You remember dancing at, like at parties?
Yeah. Your mom looked like Daft Punk right now.
You said, with the red visor. Bro, you know what I realized? Like, to dance at a legitimate, like, black function, all you got to do is bend your knees and have your elbows bent. For real. You just keep them bent the whole time. You hyperextend too far out. Don't worry, I'm not running out of topics. I was just thinking about this just randomly or whatever, man, off the top of my head.
Find you a spot on the wall, let her do her thing.
Or do kickbacks even exist anymore or anything like that, where people are actually dancing and stuff like that? Did you dance in high school when
dancing.
You went to, yeah, when you went to people's house parties, was there dancing involved growing up as a youth?
I think I did a lot more house parties like right after high school.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was always dancing.
Okay.
Until the fight broke out, I guess.
All right, man, we'll transition this with a little more substance. So spring break has started for a lot of people, like in schools and stuff like that. So I seen a clip. You know who Pooh Shiesty is?
I heard that name.
Yeah, I've only heard of him just because of like the spring break clip that's been going around, that's been going on in Miami. Has no bearing on why I want to go out there. But it was so crazy out there, I think, over this week, that they actually enacted a curfew on Saturday, which was yesterday, in regards to people leaving at 8 p.m. So you have to leave like the little area and stuff like that, or you're going to get locked and barricaded in, I believe, was the reports that was in there. Not locked
we're setting up a lot of back at the hotel spot kickback situation.
That's what's going to have to happen. If I'm out there in Miami right now, man, then that's just going to have to be what it is. You know, Florida, man, the South, like, I think what they're trying to do now is like make these restrictions and stuff like that so that the federal government doesn't come in and, you know, especially if they get Mean Joe in there, start telling them what to do. But I mean, yeah, man, it was pretty hectic, bro, when I saw it. And I was like, man, like, I miss times being like that. But is it worth the risk? This time it was us, though. Us being blacks. Like we
8 p.m. curfew for spring break sounds all the way trash.
And that's in that region, like, it just started getting dark maybe 15 minutes ago before the curfew got enacted. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like if you do it at 9 or 10, let's say it may take 2 or 3 hours to get people to clear out or whatever. Now you're looking at, like, you know, 11 o'clock-ish. You make it at 10, people probably won't clear out until 1 or 2, you know? So you're not feeling the curfew situation?
I mean, it ain't. My spring breaks are over. I really don't care anymore. I mean, yeah, they shouldn't be having it in the first place, I would, you know.
Yeah.
Let's do that next year. You know, I'm sorry to all them kids. Like, I get it. It's messed up, but... But then again, if I'm that age, I get it. Like, nah, I'm going.
If you were 22 right now, you'd be in spring break, in a spring break situation. 22, no kids,
I wasn't
kids,
really
no
in
wife
spring break when
like
I was
that.
22. But yeah, in that mindset, I can understand. Like, nah, like, this is my shot. You know, I can understand being like, I can still kind of be as careful as I can. And if I do get it, you know, I'm optimistic. I'm gonna live forever. I'm not even tripping.
Oh, man. All right, man. That makes sense. All right, let's move on to this one. Here we go. Shit, I lost it in my own head. So you're of this culture, right? You're not from it. You're of it, though.
I mean, I guess you got to tell me that.
Yeah. You're of this culture. So we'll give you a little bit of a pass because we're just talking about clothing, right? What do you think? Were you aware of, like, Rockaware, Sean John, FUBU?
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about this.
Yes, we talked about it, but then what we didn't talk about, though, is what happened to those brands. What do you think in your mind?
From what I hear, Rockaware is still $100 million in revenue a year.
That's crazy.
But I mean, because we think about it locally. When I say locally, I mean, like, the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they got a whole world to sell shit to.
Yeah.
And so I can imagine it being hot somewhere or something. Now, in the grand scheme of things, with 7 billion people, $100 million ain't a lot of money.
Right.
But it's like,
it's something, though.
Like, yeah, we can get by. I'm sure their overhead's a lot lower than it used to be.
See, what my concern was is that I didn't think that clothes are profitable. You know what I mean? And then in the era that we live in now, it's easier for people to, like,
fashion.
Yeah, make fashion and do all these things, man, and, like, And like Nigel, for example. We know Nigel. He makes his clothes and stuff like that in pop-up shops and everything. And you don't have to necessarily do it on a global scale. But I just feel like clothing, like, it's one of those things where you have to actually buy the material and then make something that consumers actually like and buy it. Because you're going to start – I feel like when you buy clothes, you're going to start off in the hole.
Yeah, well, yeah, because the big thing with that is you have to buy enough to bring the cost down, which means you're going to have inventory. So if you don't have people buying that stuff – then you just bought in bulk for no reason. Like, right. Yeah, you got it cheaper, but if you can't move it. So if you have to start off real, like, niche and, like, a small market, your margins are going to be really, really low because you can't buy enough to make it make sense.
All right.
So it's kind of like a, you know, that's why a lot of this stuff probably ain't going to survive. But Yeah, I, you know.
And also I heard that, I want to say it was either FUBU or Sean John, one of them. Another thing is like when you have a business, when you look at it, right, that was over, what, 20 years ago? You know what I mean? Maybe 15, 20 years ago. Who I don't know anyone that has a historic clothing company for that long that isn't necessarily, like, even Tommy Hilfiger aged out. You know what I mean? Or didn't Calvin Klein make jeans and stuff like
that?
Yeah,
but too? See, that's the thing, though. Like, if you can just hold on long enough, like, now it's considered vintage, and it'll have a small comeback for a little bit.
Right.
Because, you know, everything's kind of cyclical. So I feel like FUBU, maybe it already happened, or I heard something about it was happening, but, like, they're going to have a small, like, comeback, at least for a little bit.
Yeah. This is the era because everyone is dressing like that right now.
Yeah, I've been seeing, you know, things seem like they're getting a little baggier.
Other things that was problematic that I also would think, too. Yes, exactly. So the style of clothing changed. You know what I mean? Like the shirt that you have on right now, you probably would have laughed at yourself 20 years ago if you saw yourself wearing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Tighter shirts and stuff. And so like we've taken on like that European style of dress and whatnot. But at the same token, man, I look at it like it just doesn't seem profitable. Like if I'm making big money and stuff like that off of clothing and everything, I'm going to sell high once I feel like my business has hit its peak. It's not something that I'm going to go into business thinking that, oh, well, I'm going to have this clothes and it's going to be the best over the next 20, 30 years. Because,
well, I think a lot of them did sell high with that, but somebody bought it and they're just kind of like, doing what they can with it.
Comparable to like Dr. Dre with Beats.
Yeah.
You know, people say, oh, well, man, why don't we keep anything? But it's like, well, when Dr. Dre, when he had Beats and stuff like that, like he sold it when he felt like, you know, the price was right. You know what I mean?
Move on.
And I tell you what, before he sold it and Apple took over with Beats and everything, like I had a pair of Beats and I was like, these suck.
All right, man.
Like these are terrible.
I'm about to knock this whole table.
What, you like the Dre? No, I had the in-ear joints though that I would wear to the gym, and I went through like four or five pairs.
Okay, there will be no slander
of the Dr. Dre Beats.
Anything that has his name attached to it.
Oh, that doesn't mean it.
Nah, I don't care what you mean.
So if he put his name stamped on some shit, you gonna be like, man, this is the best shit in the world? No, like actual poo.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well wishes to Dr. Dre. I know that, you know, he had some ailments and stuff like that was holding
him back.
But,
you know, what do you say about that? But plus, one, you ain't got to sell the whole thing.
No, you don't.
And then two, it's like you might be positioning yourself to be in a better spot. He got a lot going on with the Apple thing. He built the whole thing at USC, the whole music program off of that.
So that was just good faith. That was just good faith for him right there. That was the whole move.
I mean, maybe it didn't start out that way, but it turned into that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against him, you know, making those type of moves and stuff like that. That makes sense. How can I help you, miss? Oh, you just out here being different? Well, I was coming in with the red visor and stuff. I don't know if she works for, what was that movie, Resident Evil? It's that Resident Evil red right there. All right, man, Next question. How well do you take criticism? That's a tough one right there.
I've been fairly well. I mean,
in the back of your mind, like if somebody was criticizing you for maybe like a move that you made or something like that, do you feel like your ultimate move is like, yo, I gotta justify it? Like, come on, man, like you killing me right now. Let me tell you why I did that.
Bruh.
Yeah, that type of moment.
I mean, I'll have that moment, but that's only to like run through to make sure, like, okay, let me run through my justification and then put it against what I'm being told to see, you know, do they have a point. I mean, I think also who it's coming from makes a big difference.
So let's say you, like, you're getting criticism from like a coworker or something like that, like I or maybe a boss or something. Do you just take it because you have to, you know what I mean? Like that's the hard thing, like sometimes, like for me, like I think I had to learn to take criticism well. Like, it took me a long time because sometimes, like, I ask myself, like, well, who are you to tell me, you know, how I'm supposed to do, you know, how am I supposed to do things? I'm going to tell you where this came from in a second, but I just wanted to get your thoughts and stuff like that on it first.
Yeah, when I'm at work, I definitely take it just in stride.
Yeah. What about at home?
At home, I'll do the whole, like, I'll do my own justification. I'll weigh it against what they're saying, and then most of the time, even if I still feel like I'm right, I'll try to implement what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So assuming it's reasonable.
So on our way home from L.A. Yesterday, majority of the time, 9 times out of 10, I drive, right? Yeah. So on the way back, we almost got into an accident, right? So I'm in the third row seat too, you know what I mean? So there's a car dead stop in the middle of the freeway, lane's not moving. In her mind, it was like, let me just stick the vehicle out there to let them know that I'm trying to get over. Absolutely fine. Just don't do it on my side of the car. You know what I mean? And so she was like, dang, this is why I hate driving, because you always got something to say. Mm. And I'm like, damn.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, well, I'm just trying to look out for you. This is an extra pair of eyes. I'm not trying to backseat drive or nothing like that. But she didn't like that. And so for the most part, man, like, I was thinking, like, man, like, every time this comes up, it's like it's an immediate reaction to, like, anytime somebody brings up any wrongdoings that you may have, it's an immediate reaction to, like, try to save yourself. And I wonder, like, why as human beings are we like that? Why do we feel like we need to, like, hurry up and just, like, defend our actions? Doesn't make any
because
sense.
Because we feeling logical, like, hey, I'm doing the right thing. What's going on, man?
What's up, brother? Go ahead, have a seat, man.
What's up?
Not much, man.
What's the topic?
That topic, we were talking about how do you take criticism.
Ooh.
Yeah. So tell us your name real quick first, brother.
My name is Dr. Just Love.
Dr. Just Love?
Oh, Dr. Just Love.
Just Love. Okay, there we go. Oh, okay. Dr. Just Love. There we go.
Yes.
All right, where are you from, Dr. Just Love?
New Orleans.
You from New Orleans? Are you visiting San Diego right now?
Yes.
Oh, okay, so how long have you been here? I told you people are out here visiting right now.
I would say since, what, Friday? Since Friday.
You've been since, and then when are you guys taking off?
I take off in a couple of hours.
Oh, so okay, so you're really short on time. So what did you go see and stuff like that while you was out here?
I got a chance to see some restaurants. We went to Mission Beach.
Okay.
Pacific Beach, La Jolla, The Cove.
I'm sure the food didn't hold up as far as where you coming from.
The food was a little bland. On the blander side, I'll say. Less seasoned.
Yeah, it's a little different. Unless you're from here, then you know what places to go to. Did you get to try Mexican food at least, though?
Yes, I had some Mexican
food. Did you like the Mexican food that
you
took?
Burrito?
Yeah, yeah, there you go. That's our claim to fame right there.
And I had some avocados.
There you go. See, there you go.
Yeah.
So, doctor, are you an actual doctor?
Yes.
Okay, so if you don't mind sharing, what do you do?
I'm a professor, but I have a PhD in biophysics and physiology.
Oh, okay, man. That's the big stuff right there, man. So the question is how do you take criticism?
Ooh.
Does it depend
on
who's
I'm sure on your way to a PhD, you took a fair share.
You develop tough skin.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
You develop tough skin.
So if you got it from a colleague, how would you take it?
Initially, I'll take a pause and maybe like, oh, if it's really something harsh, I'll be like, okay, shut down for a day, maybe.
Yeah.
And then I'll go back and look through the comments and see what I can take from it that can be useful, whether to an experiment or to a class or to a grant or something of that sort.
But yeah,
in my field you get constantly criticized for everything.
Yeah, so, I imagine at that point, especially like if you're doing research and stuff like that, it's like, well, the point of research and everything is for others to criticize and then, you know, prove whatever like you're working on is actually working or that it's actually for the common good at that point. That makes sense. Would you say you were always like that, or is that something that you had to teach yourself, like, over time?
I think that's something you have to teach. I was never one that could take criticism when I was younger.
Yeah.
But as you grow and you mature and you learn that the criticism, constructive, hopefully, is something to make you better and bring out the best in you. So you take it and you grow from it. And then the stuff that you really can't, take from it, fuck it, you know, just throw it to the side.
Exactly. Yeah. So you went to college is my guess, right? Where did you go to college at, if you don't mind me asking?
I went to Howard University.
Oh, okay. Shout out to Howard right there. Home of the Sigmas, I believe.
Okay.
I know I'm from Fresno State, so I know a little bit about the history.
Should we give him choices before you get out of here?
Nah, we can hold up. We go stay with this because we still got other stuff we get through. So in college, in regards to criticism, would you say that was the time period where, like, you were able to, like, accept it more? Was it a little bit before then or a little after?
I would say before then.
Because,
you know, when you're in high school, you're involved in a lot of activities, whether sports, clubs, and, like, Spanish club. I mean, all these different things. So you're forced to be in leadership roles. And so if you are a leader, you get in one of those roles, and then you have to deal with criticism.
It's not exactly
the first time. But I think the evolution of it to be able to adapt really happened more so in college and also in graduate school.
Yeah, I agree with you fully, man. And I think it took, for me at least, it took me till after college for me to, like, you know, be able to take criticism. I mean, before, like being in that college atmosphere and understanding and making that transition, I don't think I got good at it until, like, I started working and everything, you know, after all those things were over with. So, but yeah. All right, Dr. Just Love, I ain't going to hold you up, man. I know y'all got to take off. You got your cameraman working and everything. You'll find us. Shoot me a message in our direct message on Instagram.
Sure.
And we can tag you and say that you were part of our episode with us, man.
I appreciate it. Blessings.
Appreciate it. Y'all have safe travels and everything. Y'all be easy, brothers.
All right, y'all.
All right, now.
Go Saints.
There we go. All right, man. So, last one then. How's that stimulus holding up?
I got mine.
Yeah, you had your last 500, last 600, 700.
Hey, I got two kids. finally bringing in something to the house.
I seen a meme that said that yo, I ain't heard nothing about the stimulus in the last few days. Y'all on your last 500 right now, and I'm sitting up here. But like for me, like I, what did you do with yours when you got it? Let's be responsible about what we talking about.
Well, I mean, are you talking about the first one or are you talking about this one?
I'm talking about any of them.
This one's still there. I mean, we got.
How many have we gotten so far?
Like two and a half, three.
Two and a half, three. So out of those three, what have you done with each one of them?
I mean, the whole time we've gotten them, we was kind of in like new house mode. So we just kind of put it to the side because like, oh, we're going to need, because we know we got a big down payment we about to finish in a couple of days. And then we got to, you know. We got to pave it. We got to pave a side yard. We got to do a bunch of big things. So it's just kind of like, oh, that, you know, that takes care of the cement. That takes care of this. That takes care of that. But so we ain't really used it.
Right. I think for me, like what I do is I try to take a portion of it, maybe $300-$400 of them, of each one of them. Right. And I'll buy something for myself or for the kids or whatever. More than likely for the kids, I haven't bought nothing. Aside from golf shit, I'm not buying nothing else. But then the rest of it, like, I took the first one, I put it back in the house like you did. The second one that I got or whatever, I just threw it in the bank. And this one right here, I'm probably going to end up throwing it into some stocks or whatever. You know what I mean? And I don't want to be that guy, but it's like, bro, like, after you spend that money or whatever, like, I seen a lot of people at the mall last week buying shit. You know what I mean? Now, mind you, I've been back and forth to the mall. We've been trying to get this clothing and stuff like that popping off and whatnot. But I've been back and forth to the mall, and it wasn't as busy as it was. So people are, you know, like that money, like I want y'all to know, like it's supposed to be about purposeful things. And here's the other thing that I didn't even think about as the Saints go marching in behind us.
But at the same time, like the government wants them to do that. Go to the mall, spend that shit, and get everybody moving again.
And start circulating.
They don't want us to, they don't want necessarily do what you're doing, like hold on to it, throw it in, I mean, yeah, throw it in the stock market. But it's more valuable to them to go out and just buy shit.
But a move like that, does that not like devalue the dollar?
Oh yeah, definitely.
And that's what
someone's gonna have to pay for this shit.
And that's what I'm saying. Like inflation is gonna go up. I noticed like gas prices are like through the roof right now.
Yeah.
This is not even premium travel time. Like they're like hopping the car. But I'm saying that as I say that, I just watched the 805 South be bumper to bumper all the way through.
People still ain't really fully outside. Like we almost there. We getting there. But see, that's the whole point. It's not even summertime yet.
Yeah.
When summer comes, there's more people vaccinated, more people like, fuck it, I'm going to the beach, I'm out here. Like, to be right now at like, I go to Costco, so I get it a little bit cheaper. It was like $3.50, $3.55. Like, we might be looking at $4 again.
Right, right. I went to LA, it was $4.05. at the Chevron though.
Chevron already at four.
It was either that or like risk, you know, trying to find a gas station for 45 minutes in LA.
Hey,
traffic.
When I was I was in LA by myself at a concert.
Yeah.
And my car broke down on Crenshaw and Slauson at Arco at 11:45 at night.
Why are you there?
Because I was looking for Arco. And
this had to have been before the Gas Buddy app. It had to.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was probably like 2013.
This was recently.
I mean,
I don't think that happened.
Yeah, either way.
So what happened in the story though? My bad.
It was like 11:45 at night.
Yeah.
And my shit wasn't starting.
Your car?
Yeah.
Because of the gas or because of something else?
Nah, just because it was like the alternator or something. Something more.
This was the Lancer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I couldn't go in the Arco because they had everything kind of shut down. Like, you had a little hole in the window. I was like, somebody got some jumper cables? No. Fuck out of here. I was like, damn. And so I just popped open the hood. And basically, my battery was I was like, damn, if I can just get enough. And I had this little corrosion trick where I had to keep a little cola on me to dump on a battery, get the corrosion off, wipe it off. I unplug it, plug it back in, a battery, just enough to get it started, because once I can get it started, basically it was had, like, I think the air filter might have been a little dirty. And so when I would stop at a red light, like, it was having trouble idling. If you idle too low, it's just going to shut off. So basically, you know, you drive at 1 foot if you're normal. I had to be at a stoplight with one hand on the 1 foot on the brake and another still tapping the gas a little bit just to keep the idle high enough. And then that's how I got. Once I get to the freeway, though, I'm good.
Oh, man. Bro, I had that. Did I ever tell you my stick shift story, man, where I had to teach Rich how to drive us home, like, in the parking lot? I was so tired, bro, and I was like, look, I'm not going to make it. So, bro was learning how to drive a stick in the Jack in the Box parking lot in the middle of the Central Valley, bro. And, like, while I'm teaching him how to change gears, he decides, man, you know what? Forget it. I'm gonna learn as much as I've learned right now, and this is the best we're going to get.
I feel you.
He said, whip this shit into fifth gear, and we hitting the freeway. I'm like, bro, are you serious right now, man? You really going to put us on the freeway, man? And to his credit, man, bro made it all the way to the he made it all the way to our destination. We stalled out on the freeway ramp.
In fifth gear,
we stalled out on the freeway.
Your tank went down in 10 minutes.
Well, I mean, it bought me 2 hours of rest, man. By the time he broke down, like, when we got off the freeway, because it was like 3 hours. By the time he broke down, man, I was like, all right, we should be good, man. We can switch right now. He didn't got us all the way here. All right, man, let's switch it up a little bit. Let me get my little transition claps in real quick, man. Let me get my transition claps. Where they at? There we go. Hold up. Here we go.
Hey, while you doing that, though, I'm shooting your lady some bail on the criticism.
Which lady?
Your lady. Oh, on the critic, backing up to the criticism, because one of my pet peeves is backseat driving. Like more so than any normal criticism.
I feel like there's some validation if it's on my side of the car, though. Like, don't.
No, like, I understand your point, but the point is, like, nah, like, you know, I seen it. You know, I got it. I fucking hate it.
It's all about trust. It's definitely about trust at that point. And sometimes in that regard, I don't have no trust.
Especially back in the day when I was first starting driving. Not even first starting driving. Or I've been driving for, like, you know, 4 or 5 years.
But how do you do as a passenger?
I don't do it because I don't like doing it.
Unless, you don't like being a passenger?
If somebody... No, I'm telling you, mean, like, I don't do the passenger seat driving?
No, how do you do as a passenger? Like, while you're riding, like, in someone else's car, are you typically...
Who's driving?
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to shoot you some bail off mic.
Oh, okay. That's what you said. Okay.
But in general, just the passenger seat driving in general.
It's a control thing more than anything. I get it. She told me, like, oh, you're a control freak. I said, you're only saying that because I had made my, like, comment about the driving portion. But yes, it is a control thing, though. Like, at that point, though, you know what I mean? So, like, that 100% makes sense there. So, yeah. But I take it for what it is, man.
My mom used to tell me, like, the freeway exit we used to get off, like, to go home. Like, I've been living here my whole life. And then we'd be, like, 2 miles, like, a mile away from it. You know you got to get off here, right? I'm like, all
right. No, now, that's annoying. I hate that.
No, like, that's what I'm saying. But stuff like that.
That point, I had a homie that was like, yeah, turn right here. Like, bro, shut up. Like, I'm taking you back to your house.
I know.
Like, leave me alone. I'm taking you home right now.
Yeah, now, if it gets to that point where I miss it, I'm not going to be mad at you for not telling me.
100%
some people get mad. Like, you knew where we was going. Why you didn't say nothing?
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, if it's getting to that point, I mean, luckily she don't mind as much, but I can't stand it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way. You want to throw off my mood completely?
Then do that. All right, man, let's get to this Read 'em and Weep. Southern California theme. Yeah, that cloud is in cloud nine right now. That was a trash-ass joke. Yeah. Southern California theme parks are set to open as early as next month. But thrill seekers may be forced to bite their tongues while riding their favorite roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
The California Attraction and Parks Association is behind a plan that would encourage riders to remain silent while barreling through the air on roller coasters to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Reopening guidelines in the Golden State call for businesses to limit activities such as singing or shouting to stop the spread of the deadly virus. Under the proposal, amusement parks like Disneyland, Universal Studios, Six Flags could open at limited capacity, and patrons would be asked to keep their excitement to to themselves. As I was reading that, I was competing with my man's trumpet in the background.
Yeah.
That was killing me. But I thought this was interesting, right? You're already in an outside environment as it stands, right? You got a mask on, right? Assuming that you're able to ride the ride with a mask on. It's outdoors. You're probably hitting 50, 60 miles an hour. Like, why can't you scream and have the best time of your life, you know what I mean, at Disneyland or any of these theme parks.
Yeah, screaming into a mask is, it seems pretty, like, harmless, especially, like, I don't know. I just, like, most of these theme parks are more kid-friendly, kid-oriented. Trying to tell them to hold your excitement don't make it is ridiculous.
Yeah, it don't make no sense at that point, man.
But as far as not screaming on a roller coaster, I do that anyway.
You don't scream?
Like, specifically Disneyland, stuff like that, that's not gonna make me just scream. I kind of just kind of, I'll grip my
you
teeth
just hold your face there?
Or I'll go, like, I'm not screaming. I'll do it in my mind, or I'll do whatever.
Oh, man, he said,
If it's one of them joints where I'm like, oh, it might be there, like, I'll just close my eyes and just... And just grip my teeth a little bit.
Oh, my God.
Finish him.
That's when your stomach... I've got to name this. That's when your stomach's not sitting right with you in the roller coaster.
Yeah, it's definitely one of them.
Oh, my God,
like, it
man.
Does sound like I'm not on a roller coaster and I'm just being uncomfortable somewhere else.
Yeah, like you just waiting to use the restroom or something crazy. You know what I mean? Hey, I'm laughing because the last time I got on a roller coaster, I made a sound similar to that. And it was like,
yeah, like something like that.
It's like a low grunt. I'm not screaming and hollering, though. Because I'm too afraid to scream. You ever been, like, so afraid that you just couldn't yell? Like, that's how I felt, like, on the roller coaster type thing.
Yeah, I'm like, whoo.
But I feel like that's just a little bit excessive, though. You know what I mean? Like, I should.
Yeah, you
should be able to scream, bro. You're going 40, 50 miles an hour.
I think it gets to that point where you grow up enough. I mean, I guess it's, like, you know how, like, you a kid, you fall down? Like, legit, like, you hurt. And you crying?
Yeah.
I feel like if I fell to that point, like, I'm hurt, like, it's fucked up, but I'm not crying.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but I'm not going to sit up here and, like, yeah, man, like, I don't know. I just don't feel like it's worth opening. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, keep the shit closing. Y'all need to make some money, let me scream. You know what I mean? But then I get it, too, because you got these people out here acting crazy. The man with the elephant and stuff like that
screaming
yesterday,
into
man.
A mask, though. Like, you have people, yeah, the whole Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl team still got to play.
Yeah.
When they barber. You know what I mean?
Nah, that boy out here speaking his truth right now. All right, Pop's about to ride back to Liberty Station. He's crazy. So, yeah, so let's go ahead and transition to shit you wasn't outside for, man. Here we go. Where my applause at? There we go. We're getting closer to the end. We're running to somebody for choices. Don't worry. All right, man. You play drinking games? When's the last time you played a drinking game?
Ooh. Like a legit one?
Like a legit one.
There was
one.
Like fake ones where we set up like during the debates.
You ever play King's Cup?
Yeah.
I had to go back and reread like what that was like. And
yeah, you asked the chat like, which one was that again?
That was about 3 weeks ago that I asked that.
I
had intentions of doing something completely different, you know, before then, man. But yeah, man, I asked him. King's Cup is basically you have one big cup in the middle. Whatever drink somebody has in their hand, like if you got 10 people playing, then it gets... Obviously, a nasty game to play during COVID right now,
yeah,
too.
Whenever I played that game back then, I wasn't really drinking like that to begin with.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not losing. If I lose, I'm just knocking that shit over.
And so you take a deck of cards and you spread them around the cup, and then you play a game based off of what cards you pick up. The part that's messed up about the game is that you pour it into the cup, and you can have wine in there, beer, you know, hard alcohol. I've lost twice. And when I say that I lost, I legitimately lost. Like,
yeah.
Like, we were in UC Davis at the time. We were just going up visiting somebody. And I lost, and they had brand new white carpet. They brought Carlos Rossi, beer, Paul Masson. Yeah, my dark liquor taste was nasty back then. Paul Masson. And I hit the floor face first. like just out cold and just threw up there, man. And it was all brand
this
new white
alpaca.
Carpet,
you
man.
You blocked
and,
that shit.
Man. And they was cool people. We was in there with hippies. Like, you know.
Yeah, I would assume they was cool.
Yeah. I would hope so. Yeah, man. But, yeah, I was thinking about that, man. Like the drinking games, I just feel like either we've outgrown them or they just not. It's just not a popular thing anymore, though.
I mean, like I'm saying, the drinking games I played recently was like during the debates. Every time one of them cut somebody off, that's a drink. But the thing is, we was going to drink anyway.
Right.
And I guess that's the same thing for the drink games anyway, but it's more like, oh, take a sip. But I was already lining my sip up for this moment anyway.
I remember when beer pong was a thing, but maybe I'm just so far removed where it's
I think beer pong's, I think it's outlasted like
I think it
most of them.
It went back to the whites.
Did it ever really leave?
Yeah, it did. There was hordes of black people playing beer pong.
Oh, you mean like fully banned? We never let it go, but we just
y'all never let it go.
We licensed
but I
it
feel
out.
Like I feel like the culture. I'm not saying y'all not, well y'all not culture, but the culture said, hey, look, y'all could have this one back. Like we're not doing that. But down there, coming up with different ones. Like you can do like golf ones where you can chip the ball into the hole, or you know, throw a bag into one of the holes or something like
flip
that.
Flip cup.
I did play that one like 2 or 3 years ago or whatever, man, at somebody's party or whatever. But it's not something that's like a go-to.
Nah.
Like nobody's like hitting me up like, hey, bring a table, man, so we can play flip cup.
True.
Maybe I've outgrown it.
I mean, your stomach definitely outgrown it.
For sure.
You can't.
I'm actually probably more stronger than and in shape than I am now.
I'm not talking about how big you are. I'm talking about like able to. If you took down that King's Cup now, even though you did throw up and all that. Your insides would be like,
there would be no bearing on me to even drinking that.
Your insides are like, nah, doing this.
My stomach personally would not take that. Hell no. All right, man. Youth sports. Did you play any youth sports, like for a league or a rec center growing up?
I mean, I did. So I'm getting kind of triggered right now.
Oh, let's hear it, man. We're right up your alley right now.
What I wanted to do, I want to be like. Like, we had our first couple soccer practices, right? And I had to hold myself back from being a trophy kid. There's a documentary called Trophy Kids right now where it's like, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you did a whole bunch of good, you did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to lie to you. You're getting plenty of praise by a bunch of other people here.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to, like, shit on you right now. You 5 years old. But I'm going, like, I want to, like, construct it. Like, I want to help you. If you really like this, then I want to push you to see how far you really want to take it. And that starts with, like, let's get into these youth sports early. I had to beg to go to PH Rec to play basketball. And that was on some, I guess when I started, like, 12 and under. Like, I had to beg for that. And it was like, oh, but I didn't, there was no involvement. I got dropped off to practice. I got dropped off to more than half the games. And I kind of parlayed a couple years of that before I got to high school.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get to like people now that go hard with they travel ball, they travel leagues, and that costs like a bunch. Now I get it, we couldn't really afford that, but I was never exposed to anything much outside of just that one rec center, and then like went straight to high school after that.
And that's where I think like the game has changed. You brought up travel ball and stuff like that. Like when I was coming up, man, and that was like playing sports, what, 2005, 2006-ish and stuff like that. Like we wasn't playing travel ball like that. I was still playing for leagues and everything.
Yeah.
I didn't start playing travel ball until I was like 12 or 13. But the thing about it was is that it wasn't such a money market as it is now, though. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's big. I mean, all the big shoe companies, they sponsoring all the tournaments and stuff right now. I think it's going back now, but I was told like AAU was more important than your high school as far as basketball wise for a specific amount of time. Maybe even so now.
I would say during what's my man's name that plays for Brooklyn or played for D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
Like during his time period, like when he first came into the league and when he was playing like AAU and stuff like that, it was important back then. I think now it's back to like schools and powerhouses and stuff like that. And now it's just anywhere that you can go and play at. But I think like there's money to be made. I talked to one of my cousins who has her son that's playing sports and stuff like that. And she said that in the last 8 months, because of COVID and the lockdown and everything, they've spent upwards of about $15,000 in regards to travel fees, tournament fees, food, and stuff like that, because there's no tournaments right now in California.
Yeah.
So they've got to travel to Alabama, Texas, you know, the Carolinas, Florida, and stuff like that to even be able to have their son play because sports is canceled out here. Like right now, like, you know, I signed my my son up for T-ball. And with that being said, like T-ball and everything, they're just practicing right now.
Yeah.
But there's big money. Like, I just remember youth sports just being like you said, you being attached to a league and everything. And, like, you had a want to go play. Like, I feel like nowadays you got to, like, really entice kids. Like, hey, do you want to play ball or you want to play sports? Or even, like you would probably play in your respective league and whatnot, but you would still come home and play again.
Yeah.
And it's not like that now. You know what I mean?
No, yeah. I was trying to get into I guess any league I could, but then there was people like from some of the travel teams that would poach people from the rec centers that like, oh, you can come. And then, you know, so I got to the point where it's like, hey, you trying to come mess with us? And I was like, yeah. And then it was like, You got travel ball money? I don't. So here we are.
Yeah, like you take like a sport like baseball, right? You play baseball, you buy the bat, the helmet, the equipment, the balls, and all that other stuff, and then you go off and you pay the travel fees to go out. You know what I mean? You're going to spend big money on those things.
Nah, I was in a two-mile radius. Shout out to PH Reg. Shout out to Skyline. Shout out to MLK. Shout out to Encanto.
There we go. Oh, hey, you know what, man? And I'm messing up, man. Go ahead. Do it one more time just so the people can hear it. One
my youth. Shout out to Paradise Hills Rec. Shout out to Skyline Rec.
There we go.
Shout out to MLK Rec. Shout out to Encanto Rec.
There we go.
That's where I'm bred from.
Got to make sure I throw the horns on the back of it so, you know, so that they know that you're giving them mad love and whatnot. Drive-in movies. So I asked our listeners, you know, yesterday, like what they thought about drive-in movies and stuff like that. So I was going last week. Remember, I told you I went to my my fiance's friend's house and stuff like that. On the way home, I mean, on the way there, I noticed that there was like off of Coronado Avenue, so deep down there off of the 5, there was a long line. And I was like, bro, this can't be the border traffic. You know what I mean? And then I take a peek over. Tom and Jerry is playing at the drive-in theaters. What drive-in theaters have you been to? Like in Dago, like where do you remember
going
to?
That's the one right there.
That was the one. There was one where the SWAT meet is off of the 54 too.
Yeah, that's the OG one. The only movies I ever saw at that one was a double. What was that? 97. It was the second Jurassic Park. And a movie called Dante's Peak.
Dante's Peak.
Yeah, I was probably like 9 years old. That's the only time I've ever been to that one. They shut it down not too long after that. And then, like, there's one in Santee, but nah.
That's
so
not
it's like,
one.
Oh, we going down to IB, I guess. And then, yeah, so that was a big date thing for me and the wife back in the day. I think we've been there once or twice since the kids came around. Just to like, let's see how this works.
Yeah. Now, with younger kids, man, I can only imagine how much harder it is to try to get them engaged. You're in an enclosed space.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, and even then, like, how's the radio? Was the radio, like, you still have to find the station and stuff like that of where you're listening to?
Yeah, it's not too, but they tell you what it is. And it's not like that dial where you have to get it perfect.
That's what I'm saying.
It's more digital. I did have my Lancer broke down at that drive-in too.
Yo, what's up?
They had to bring the lights up. No, it broke down before the movie started, so I had to run out there. They had to bring their jumbo. It was during not the same time frame, but it was like, damn, let me just replace.
Oh, that's because you left the radio on.
I gotta replace this little. I don't know what it was. I think that one was like just a glitch.
Yeah,
it wasn't no user error or nothing. They came out there. I started it up real quick. I was like, yo, I'm not keeping this car running. I'm not keeping it running the whole time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let it run for a while. Let the little commercials pop off. Once the movie starts, let's give it a shot. If it dies, it dies.
Then you just got to live with it from there.
Give me my bread back. But see, that one down there, it was like $7 or whatever for like two movies.
Yeah.
So $14 would get you one person into AMC. Get you two movies for two people.
If you had a choice, would you choose the drive-in movie theaters or would you choose like doing like a streaming like type of event? I mean event, a streaming
with
type
my
of
life
situation.
Right now?
Yeah, with your life right now. If you had to choose. Like if like the drive-in was made available to you, it is actually made available to you.
Yeah.
If you had the opportunity, would that be a good family outing for you or would you rather? Because I'm trying to think of preference, right? Majority of the people that I asked, like I think 80% of them is what of the sample that we had. A lot of them said they rather watch movies from home.
But yeah, I would.
The drive-ins is like, you know, it's like more for the experience, but most people don't give a shit about the experience at this point.
I would like to go to the drive-in again. With my wife only.
And not take the kids with you at all.
But
if they was older, even too, like,
was older, they ain't really, are they really trying to
can
go
you
with
even
us?
Really see from the back seat?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it is an inconvenience when you think about it.
I mean, if you got the right, like, you got like a pickup truck, you can turn it backwards and lower the gate down. Get the blankets out.
Yeah, but it ain't gonna work if you're in like a Ford Focus or a Lancer.
Yeah.
You're not. There's no way you're gonna be able to see. You're gonna have to park on the side or something. Back then, my aunt, she had a Ford Taurus, so that was 3-row seating in the front. So we just made it work. You just peeking through shoulders on the back, but at least you had three people that was right. able to watch. So yeah, man. All right, let's see what else we got for shit you wasn't outside for. Oh, here we go. So we played that Maya track earlier, right?
Okay.
DJ Clue, yeah. Desert Storm.
DJ's talking
right
all over the song.
Yeah, so what happened to that era, man? That was the mixtape era, man. So That shit that kids wasn't outside for now, man. I mean, even now, I guess now you have guys putting like album like projects together that, you know, they're calling mixtapes and stuff like that. And then if it blows up and it's like, oh yeah, we'll go ahead and sell it now.
But I think a lot of what happened was they're leaking their own music, or there's not a big rollout, and it's like the DJs aren't doing it because it's like, oh, they already put this song out as a single on their SoundCloud, whatever. And there's no the money in mixtapes that the DJs were making, because they were making a lot of money, just right. It isn't there anymore. Mm-hmm. And so you'll have somebody talking. And the funny part is, when it was happening, you know, when you used to like steal music on LimeWire or whatever, and you're like, damn, I got the one with the DJ screaming all over. You used to be mad. Like, damn, I need the CD version.
Right, right.
And then once it was over, I was like, damn, like I could really use a DJ Envy, like all over just in the front.
Yeah.
Just talking over. I was like, damn, I kind of miss it. But when it was happening, I was like, nah, delete this one. Got to get the CD version.
That ain't the one.
But I think, yeah, between that, there's no money in the DJ for it anymore. So it's like, I'm not putting this out. We're not getting the exclusive because the artist is just doing it themselves. And then when the DJ, I mean, I guess you still got, but I mean, I know what you're saying, because it's still kind of different. Like Khaled's still screaming on every song.
Yeah, that's true.
But he's coming up.
He's of that era, though.
He
wasn't like
he
super
wasn't popular yeah. until after it was like kind of over already.
Yeah, but he's definitely like from that era. DJ Drama, DJ, who did that? Did Envy do it too?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's
Everybody
go.
Did it. Let's. It just sounded, they all did it differently. So Clue was probably the most annoying just because of when he was doing it. Like where in the song he was doing it.
That's what made it very difficult, man. All right, so we done with shit you wasn't outside for. I got this story that I got to get off. And in the interim time, if I'm able to find somebody to play choices, we'll do it. But I've been trying to get this story off now for like the last 3 weeks, man, and we've been running into stuff. So here we go. All right, this is about the Blue Marlin.
Oh, this ain't your story.
This ain't my story, man. I always find this ain't my story. I just want to get your thought process on this. Now, just keep in mind, you're judging a black man, okay? The Blue Marlin. The relatively high fat content of its meat makes it commercially valuable in certain markets. It is a national fish of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and is featured on its coat of arms. At times, weighing in at 210 pounds, you normally need about 10 or 14-hour fishing charter to catch marlins in Puerto Vallarta. Why so long? It takes 3 hours just to get the fish to the boat. A Nigerian man reported caught a $2.6 million blue marlin fish a few weeks ago and ate it, and then he also shared it with his village. Having a knowledge of it without having any knowledge of its financial value. The story has since gone viral on social media. The marlin is worth $31,000 per pound.
A pound?
Yeah.
Mm.
Who's paying $31,000, man, for a fish, man? Does that make any sense to you? It makes zero sense to me
at all.
Nah,
I don't. But you know they out there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even paying for, like, the filet mignon. I ain't doing that either. Give me a T-bone or something.
The man gave, but see, here's the thing. If it's a 200, I looked it up. I did some extensive research. If it's a 200-pound fish, right, it's got to be super hard to get that thing in there. So you're probably paying for the efforts and
no,
its
no,
rarity.
No, 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 no.
Nah,
ain't no labor charge that high. I understand. 3 hours tugging at a fish, I get it. One, you got the technology on these boats. Mm-hmm. They ain't got no random fishing pole just out there.
But even the money and stuff like that you have to put into it or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah,
I imagine, like, just to catch one fish is probably a lot of energy.
Yeah.
So you're probably paying a lot of like the rarity costs and stuff like that.
No, yeah, that's true.
But then at the same token, like I empathize with my man, because what he did was he took a fish that was 210 pounds and he could have just saved it for himself. I don't know how, like, if they got, you know, proper cooling conditions and stuff like that over there. But he fed it to his village.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now, here's the thing. Somebody else brought this
he
up.
He could have, like, did a lot for the village with the selling that joint.
But here's the thing. There's places that maybe money has no value.
No, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like in the Amazon or something like that. Like a dollar ain't going to save your life right there.
But you can still barter with money if you barter with the right people.
Explain. Give me a situation in which that would happen.
I'm saying that's what we do in general. We barter. We're still on the barter system. We just barter with money that we can sit. That's currency.
Yeah.
But if they want something like salt or some type of spice or something that you know, money doesn't mean. If I have this money, oh, I can find somebody to take it off my hands to get me what I want.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Or so it's like, I don't know. And let's say like that secluded, like one of them joints where it's like, I don't even know what a dollar look like.
Like, who is this man on there? You don't know George Washington?
Take this $31,000, put it, convert it into gold. And I know that gold can take me somewhere around here.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was thinking like, yo, $2.6 million, man, he probably could have built a new pipeline or something like that, or water or something. Like, there's just way more things that like you could have did with $2.6 million. But he also did something noble with it, man. You know what I mean? He gave it back to the people. So, yeah, man. All right, man, so let's go ahead and get into this game called Choices real quick. Let me go ahead and play this music real quick.
Everybody got choices. These bitches is choosing, I'm all in their hands. Everybody got choices. Keep it one thou out of the light that I chouse. Everybody got choices. These niggas be hating, I already know.
All right, man, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to find somebody real quick to play Choices, and then we're going to get to it. Here we go, here we go, here we go. Let's see who we got here. We're going to look at some random people here, and... There we go. There we go. We found somebody. What's your name, man?
Oh, it's David.
David? Okay. David, where are you from?
I'm from here.
You're from San Diego?
Yeah.
Where'd you grow up at? What area?
Up in San Marcos.
Oh, up in San Marcos. Okay. Did you go? What's the high schools out in San Marcos, man?
San Marcos?
Oh, I was homeschooled.
Oh, you was homeschooled. Yeah. Okay. It's a different life. So what do you do, David?
I do contracts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Like for like the military, like for, not the military, for like the government and stuff like that, or like?
Just write contracts for the business, you know, that type of stuff, like find suppliers that, you know.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm Carl. This is Lex. So what the game we're gonna play is almost like a would you rather type thing.
Okay.
But it's called Choices. Okay.
Okay.
From what we do is I actually put the questions out on our social media and have people vote on them. So I'm gonna let you know how you did amongst the people that voted once we put the questions up there. Sound good?
Oh yeah, that sounds good.
All right, here we go. Choice is give up social media or eat the same dinner for the rest of your life.
Probably give up social media.
Okay, 83% of our listeners agree with you on that one. Okay,
I don't believe them.
It's easier said than done right there. All right, next one. Choice is always be 20 minutes late for important events or always be 2 hours early for to everything else.
Probably be 2 hours early.
You'd rather be 2 hours early? So you're in the minority there. So only 46% of our listeners agree with you on that one. I don't know, man. I'd rather be 20 minutes late, though. That's just me. Like
there's a joke in there. I'm not going to say it, though.
No, say the joke. You say black people ain't never on time? All right, choice is only be able to wash your hair twice a year or only be able to check your phone once a day. It's a tough one.
Yeah. Probably wash the hair.
So you're going to go ahead and just be able to wash your hair only twice? Okay, so only...
My man's got important business on the phone.
Hey, he's in the minority again, so only 43% of our listeners chose that one. All right, here we go. Here's another one. This one wasn't so tough. Choice is save 3 of your closest family members or 1,000 people you don't know.
Probably 1,000 people I don't know.
Oh, all right. So he actually was only 4% of our listeners chose 1,000 people that they don't know. What would you choose on that one?
Nah, we ain't talking to me.
It's a difficult choice. Here we go. Choice is always be overdressed or always be underdressed?
Probably overdressed.
Overdressed? Yeah. 80% of our listeners agree with you there and being always overdressed. Me, I'm underdressed right now, so I'm in that 20% minority. What about you? Where you at?
I mean, I want to be underdressed. I was trying to. I got a stylist.
You want
now.
To come out in basketball shorts and flip flops, huh? All right, I believe we got two more. Choice is the ability to make and keep close friendships or win the lottery and have no friends.
Probably the ability to keep close friendships.
There we go. Yeah. So then 72% of our listeners agree with you right there. Yeah, man, what's the point of having money if you have nobody to share it with, man?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes no sense at all, man. You taking the cash? This man is very frugal.
Nah.
You may not be able to tell by his nice... I don't even know what I was going to go with that.
It's like a $7 tee?
So what you going with, the money or the friends?
I'm going with the friends.
All right, man, there we go. I just wanted to check it because you might just get rid of me for no reason. Choice is give up social media. Oh, all right. We already did that one, so we're done already, man. But yeah. I appreciate you for coming out. You can find us at Grown Folks Podcast Network on Instagram. Shoot me a message, and I'll tag and say that you played with us, man.
All right, y'all check it out, man.
All right, man, appreciate it.
You.
Y'all have a good rest of y'all day.
All righty.
All right, man, you got anything for 3 cheers or anything like that, man?
I did it again.
Uh-oh.
I meant to come in with like some...
You didn't come in here for any positive vibes?
Nah,
I
meant to come in here with a random woman that nobody heard of or was unsung. for Women's History or Women's Month or whatever, and I ain't do that.
I feel like every week we come in here with like a rest in peace. I do want to give a rest in peace to Marvin Hagler, man. That was unfortunate. Legendary boxer that passed away. We don't know what the circumstances are yet, man, but I do want to get that rest in peace out there. Congratulations to anybody that's got anything positive going on. If you're outside right now, man, continue being safe and everything. That's going to be the most important. Anything else you got for the people? Anything you want to get off your chest? Any conversations you want to have later on? What you got?
I feel like everybody you've been directing to, you directing them to the other. We got the new page out.
Oh, okay. So there we go. That's something to cheer about. So You Wasn't Outside now has its own podcast page under at You Wasn't Outside. At @you_wasn_outside. There it is right there.
So, yeah, start telling them that.
All right. Hey, that's your job, man.
Nah, man.
Yes, it is, man. You can do it.
I'm the B-mic.
Nah, man. Be more vigilant. All right, man. Appreciate everybody that came out on this episode. Just Love, David, that just came through, man. We out here. And the way I feel, I want to curl up like a child. I know you can hear me.